morning. Welcome to the MGX Crop Report conference call. I'm Jesse, and I'll be your moderator today. Today's commentary is provided by Jonah Ford of Cirrus Hedge. Thank you, Jonah, for taking time out of your schedule to provide the commentary. I'd like to remind you, opinions expressed in today's commentary are those of the commentator and not MGX. Nothing should be construed as a trading recommendation by MGX, its employees, or its members, and is the sole opinion of the commentator. After the commentary is complete, I'll ask for questions from the media representatives. I'd also like to ask everyone on the call to please use the mute feature on your phone to not disrupt the commentary with background noise. With that, I'll turn it over to Jonah.
Thank you, and good morning, everybody. We had a somewhat bearish response to the report. Came out about half an hour ago, and sent corn and beans immediately south, beans leading the way. It was the report itself, or the reports, I should say, were somewhat neutral, and I would say even modestly friendly for the wheat complex. So I think the weakness that we're seeing in wheat, the Chicago wheat is down about 16 cents. But Minneapolis is holding up much better. It's just down a couple of cents on the report, and Kansas City wheat also holding about flat. So we have really the bulk of the bearish news came in on the soybeans. Corn was also not particularly friendly as far as prices go. We've got soybeans down 62 cents in the November futures and 58 cents in the front month, with wheat down 15 cents and corn down 20. So a pretty big hit. The all wheat plantings came in up less than 1% from 2013. Not a lot of surprises in the wheat complex. It's pretty much in line with the expectations of the market. Total of 30.4 million acres of hard red winter, 8.5 million of soft red winter, and 3.4 million of white winter. So 12.7 million acres spring wheat, and that's up about 10% from 2013, about 12 million hard red spring. So that gives us a pretty much uneventful report as far as wheat. Chicago, again, is getting dragged down, I think, in sympathy with the corn and beans. So we'll look at those real quick as far as the acreage numbers. Planted area for all of 2014, the estimate is 91.6 million acres. The trade was going into this hoping, I would say, for 89. That was a consensus. And so we're about 2 to 3 million above the expectations of going into the market. We don't know the yield yet, not going to, but 91.6 million acres. We've got a big crop with a lot of carryover, and we'll get to the carryover in a minute. Soybeans, planted area for 2014, record high of 84.8 million acres. And that's what sent the new crop beans south in a hurry. It's up 11% from last year. Area for harvest of 84.1 million. That's up 11% from last year. And a record high by more than 7.4 million acres. So if you put that acreage number in with a good growing season, which we've had so far, and expectations for a high yield, you've got potential for a really big 2014 bean crop, which is what the market needed to get us out of this trading in the teens. Turning to the grain stocks, which compiled the problem, old crop wheat stored all positions down 18% for a year ago. So we're seeing disparities as far as we are working off the excess in the wheat. And so I say this crop report is somewhat friendly for the wheat complex, even though we're not seeing it here. This may prove to be a potentially a buying opportunity in the wheat market if it gets dragged down quite a bit with the corn and beans. On-farm stocks at 97 million bushels, down 19% from last year. So, again, we're seeing improvement and working off in inventories. Off-farm stocks, 493 million bushels, down 18% from a year ago. Disappearance of 467 million bushels for March through May. which is down 10% from the same period a year earlier. So slightly bearish in that note, but the rest of it is much improved. Corn and beans, very different story. Corn, 2014, all positions totaled 3.8 million bushels. It's 39% higher than we were this time last year. So we're looking at a lot of carryover in the corn market. That's not really all that much of a surprise. It fits pretty closely in line with the expectations, but again, with a good growing season for corn and that 91.6 million acre total is pretty bearish. So we're going to have a big carryover going into new crop in corn, and that's probably going to keep some pressure on any rallies, and that's what we're seeing today is some farmers probably throwing in the towel. Soybeans, stored in all positions, 405 million bushels. So that's our, as of June 1st, we've got 405 million bushels. Some of the trade was looking for a lot less than that. And really, we're now overcompensating at this point for all the expectations we had at the end of last year and the start of this year that soybeans were very tight and we're going to come down to the wire on carryout projections of less than 100 million bushels were pretty standard at the start of the year. So we slipped off of that by quite a lot, 7% drop from last year, but still 405 million bushels. So hard to justify $14, $13 beans when we've got half a billion bushels to get us through the next 3 months until harvest. But so that hit the beans really hard. Discounts for March, May was 589 million bushels, about 4%. So took the pressure off the margin in soybeans, meaning there's just less expectation of the squeeze, and you see it in the front month as well as the new crop. So that's pretty much the wrap. We just saw heavy selling right out of the gate, but the best performer on the complex is Minneapolis, which is holding steady, and it's somewhat detached. It's down about 6 cents now, 6.5. New crop, September Kansas wheat down about 9 cents, with Chicago wheat down about 20. So all in all, wheat holding its own as well as can be expected, with soybeans now pushing to 65 cents down. So they'll probably work this off as far as we may have seen a top here in the beans. This could be the beginning of a pretty major downtrend going into harvest, barring some extreme weather that so far has not materialized. So that could be the nail in the coffin for the bean rally. Meal, I should mention, soybean meal's off $21 across the board. So that's also indicative of pretty strong pessimism, and looks like it's breaking that squeeze we've seen in the front month. So I think that covers the numbers. Does anybody have any questions?
Great. Thank you, Jonah. We've got a lot of media on the call today, so I'll try and get through everybody just starting with one question each. Michelle with Farm World, do you have a question?
Not at this time.
Thank you. Mike with Red River Farm Network.
Yeah, Jonah, what kind of downside is possible here, do you think?
For any particular or overall?
Beans in particular, I guess.
I think we could slide down, we could slide back down under 11 pretty easily here for November. I think we may still see a little bit of price rationing on the August-September contracts. We've got 405 million bushels is a lot, but we did run through almost 600 million bushels from March to May. So, there's some tightness there. There's just less tightness. I mean, how the market likes to price in, if you've got if you've got just enough, it's no big deal, and if you've got not quite enough, then it's a really big deal. So the price is really sensitive to that that last bit of carryout. So we may see, you know, we may see the July-August contracts hold up better than new crop, but it would not surprise me to see us trading a 10 handle. We're almost at 11 handle now, or 12.01 on the set. So we're the one bullish case I can make on the whole situation is, you know, if you look back or step back and look at the food complex in general and how it's been behaving this year, and it's been my sort of model for not getting too bearish on the grains, is we've got a lot of inflation. You look at the cattle markets, you look at poultry, livestock, meat in general, dairy. We're seeing incredibly resilient prices for a wide spectrum of reasons. You get the fundamentals, they're different. But I don't want to get too bearish just based on supply and demand numbers in the corn and beans and wheat because of that backdrop. You know, we've got propensity for higher prices across the board. So I don't see us getting, you know, a whole lot under $11. Would be my would be where I would start looking to buy this market potentially. And that'll also depend on how we wrap up the growing season here. We've had really good weather for most of the year here. We got everything planted. We got good rains, too much rains in some places, but that tends not to be particularly bullish until we get to the end of the season, and then you got to start looking for, you know, we could be too wet, and we could stay that way. We could stay too cold. So there's potential for a bullish upswing as we go into harvest. But for the near term here, I think this is going to put some pessimism, and we could see, you know, we could see a $10 handle. I don't think we'll get down all the way to 10, but maybe 10.50 to 11 in the November would not surprise me. And corn, you know, corn's already beat up, so there's a lot of bearishness already priced into it. And there's not a whole lot of reason to rally off of this report by any means. But again, I'm not in the $2 camp on the corn. As you heard that tossed around, while there's people worried we're just going to see a deluge of corn. But I think we're kind of at a level globally where you're going to have a steady market at a price higher than that. So I don't think we have a whole lot further downward to go. We may test the 3 handle short term. But that's where I would start to look to start putting long-term bullish positions on if we get down to 380 or thereabouts.
Fran, do you have a question for Jonah? How about Kelvin? Do you have a question?
No, thank you.
And Spencer, would you like to ask a question?
My question was just answered. Thank you.
All right, great. And Dan with Farm Week?
Yes, same. It was already covered. Thank you. Good job.
All right.
Thanks.
Ken with Interstate Farm Network? And Andrea?
Yes, hi. Jonah, was there any surprises for you in today's reports?
I was a little surprised at how bearish the bean acreage numbers were. We're as high as we were in the planted area, being 7 million acres over last year. And I'm not terribly surprised, but I would have expected it a little bit lower than that. The corn was not much of a surprise. But yeah, I wouldn't have expected the beans to get hit quite as hard as they did today. And that's about the only, and really, going off the guidance of the USDA over the last, well, to be kind, year, last year, has been a challenge, because we have to, we have to operate on their numbers and their projections because the market's going to some extent. But this year has kind of been one where I really opted to throw their expectations out the window because they didn't really seem to add up at the end of last year. So to see a resurgence and a 400 million bushel carry out and puts us on track for basically a normal year, that was a bit of a surprise. I would have liked to have seen a lower carry out there. And it remains to be seen if they're accurate. As far as that goes, we may see another surprise come harvest time where it turns out. That's about it. And I'm impressed with Minneapolis wheat holding steady on a heavy down day, and that's encouraging to me for potential low there. My favorite position in the world at the moment is long Minneapolis wheat against short Kansas. We're seeing a discount in that, and I was interested to see how that was going to hold through this report, and it's holding steady, and I think that spread's bottomed. It's only been negative a few times, and you have to go back to 2007 to see Minneapolis this much cheaper than Kansas City month-over-month basis, and that spread doesn't stay inverted for very long historically, so there's a really historically good opportunity to buy Minneapolis and short Kansas against it, or even short Chicago against it, and let that price rebound, because the fact that it's holding up as steady as it is today is really encouraging to me that we found a low probably in Minneapolis, and we should see it work higher out of here once the dust is settled.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Janet, do you have a question?
Yeah, I was just wondering, if you still have old crop in the bin, what's the best strategy for selling that now?
Slowly. Right. If you still got it, we've been in it's been a rough year for farmers just who sell at a pace and didn't have a good hedge out as we went into this. But my expectation at this point is we're not likely to see a major rally, at least until harvest is done with and we have maybe a lighter crop than was expected, or we get some weather issues. So I would be looking at selling calls against grain that's in the bin and let it get called away, because the downside risk gets diminished here. At least that's my expectation. We haven't seen $2 corn in many, many, many years, and I'm not going to expect that any more than I'm going to expect $1.89 gas at the pump. So we've got a natural inflation built into the food supply at this point, and no matter how much they produce, there's 7 billion consumers out there who have to eat every day, and it does pencil out. But our hedging strategy at this point, serious hedges, we've had hedges on for quite a while, so we're pretty unaffected by the short term, but we've got maybe 50 cents of downside risk on the corn going into harvest. That would be my most negative expectations as we get down 375 front month or D's. And so you can write calls against the grain that you have in the bin and collapse premium off of that, and you've got fairly limited. You've got put protection in the sense of it's too cheap to sell, or there's enough steady buying at these prices that there's not a whole lot of downside risk. But given the lack of upside potential, I think it's a really good market to sell calls.
All right, thank you.
Are there any other members of the media that I may have missed who have a question for Jonah?
Jonah, this is Haley Shipp with the Northern Ag Network out of Montana. You addressed some that corn has been beat up quite a bit, and that also the spring wheat market maybe has chiseled out its low. Any insight into where the winter wheat market could go?
I think it's going to move pretty close in lockstep, and one of the reasons we're seeing this inversion of of Kansas over, or Minneapolis over Kansas, where we've got negative Minneapolis cheaper than Kansas, as we've had a lot of bullish activity in the Kansas. I think it's probably going to have a hard time getting much higher from here. I think that's pretty well played out, and we're ahead of it. So I wouldn't be a buyer of Kansas wheat at this point. I'm not particularly bearish, but I would definitely short it against Minneapolis. That relative price is just historically way out of line, and I don't see it long-term sustainable. In the short term, we could still see a little bit of bouncing around, but I think the Kansas wheat is far enough in its own orbit at this point that it's going to start getting pulled back to the rest of the complex, specifically the wheat complex, and then the grains in general, which are in a pretty well defined downtrend, because we're still trading the mid $7 handle and in the further out contracts of Kansas wheat, and we're trading the 5 handle in Chicago, and it's getting dragged lower. So the premium is going to start to bleed out, is my expectation. So it can go a little bit higher if the grains recover, but it's going to lose ground on a relative basis either way. So I would sell while the selling is good as far as Kansas wheat goes.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, Haley.
Are there any other questions from the media for Jonah?
This is Andrea Johnson. Could I ask another question?
Sure, go ahead, Andrea.
Specifically for Minnesota, do the heavy rains, flooding, et cetera, or for the upper Midwest, is that viewed at all as a weak link in the supply chain?
It certainly can be, and not just Minnesota, but the whole your neck of the woods up there is a risk, because we haven't got ideal weather there, and it's going to be factored in. The way it tends to go, because so much of the summer trading is just pure speculation, and there's some, we've got some anchors to work with, but by and large it's up to the weather, and the weather's fickle. So a lot of the time we're really just playing by the seat of our pants until we have some actual numbers. And when we get drought weather and hot, dry, it tends to spark the bullish speculation, regardless of what the national crop, expectations and the reality of the situation is. We get the extreme threat of drought or heat, and it tends to spike the market. We can see damage from too cold and too wet, for sure. And it just tends not to fuel the speculative fire to nearly the extent that the hot weather does. And so that could wind up being a surprise as we go into September, October, and if we get really bad yields in the north because it just didn't warm up, we could see that underpin prices for sure. As far as shaving acreage off, shaving yield off, so that's got potential. But it's still June. We've got July, August to work things out, and hopefully it improves.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea.
Does anyone else in the media have any questions? All right. Well, thank you again, Jonah, from Cirrus Hedge, for providing today's commentary. Audio of this call will be available on our website later this afternoon. Additionally, MGX offers market commentary in both audio and text on our website. Our next call will be July 11th with the WASDE and Crop Production Report. Have a great day and a wonderful holiday, everyone. Thank you.